Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Back-to-back, man. You do not see this in college football.
Every one of those guys right there believed. They said it in the locker room before we came out of the second half. And all those fans up there, they believe too.
It's time for College Football Game Time. Tune in or listen on the Odyssey app as Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman, John Fricke, and Chris Gofford bring you the latest on the world of college football.
Keep it here as our team gives you an exclusive look at the world of college football, our Bulldogs, and more. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dose. College Football Game Time is on. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Now, here's Abe, Garrett, John, and Chris.
Welcome into College Football Game Time. Another big week of college football action, and this time I guess the rankings matter. A whole different group of people met and put out very similar numbers, and now we get to talk about them in a different light. I'm Abe Gordon. With me today, as usual, is my man Garrett Chapman. Garrett, how you doing this Saturday morning?
I feel like we have a lot more answers than we did a week ago, Abe, but
you know,
every single week is going to unveil something brand new, so
will it
should be a lot of fun following along.
I won't follow it at all. You make me talk about it. I would just as happily sit there and wait and see who the final 12 is, because, look, we can talk about it, and we're going to, but all of this usually ends up kind of settling itself. Now, It was real easy when it was two teams to settle itself. It got a little bit more difficult when it was four.
Mm-hmm.
How much more difficult when it's 12? That's going to be the problem. And while I still stand by the idea that I think the eventual champion's going to be pretty obvious and apparent from that probably top half of those 12 teams, I think you saw, based on the rankings, based on the seedings, based on who's, I don't know, 14, 13, 15, 16, there's going to be some discussion as we get to it. But today is not just about the rankings. It's also about a couple of big games that are going to help, again, settle and shake out some of these rankings. So we look forward to that. We're going to be breaking it down throughout the day today. Huge day in the SEC.
Huge.
Two specific games we're going to focus heavily on. And then there's a couple of other games over the course of the rest of the nation that certainly we keep our eye on. They're going to have conference title race implications. They could have the college football playoff implications. They could have Heisman implications. So a lot to get to today. The segment that means more, 9 o'clock, we'll talk a lot about LSU and Alabama night game in the Bayou in there. 9:20, B.A., Brandon Adams, the Dog Nation, is going to join us, chat about the Dogs as they prepare for another tough road test. They did pretty good in their last big one, and when I refer to the big road test, I'm thinking back to that Texas game. They look like the future national champions. They haven't really looked like that since. Maybe a little return to form for both the defense, for Carson Beck. We'll break it all down there. But I do want to start here with you, Garrett, today on our big story. The college football playoff rankings are out. It's brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company, official craft beer partner for Kennesaw State Athletics. Let me just start here. What did you expect? Forget the numbers and the schools and the teams. What did you expect from the actual show on Tuesday night because they both seeded and ranked the teams. Yeah. I don't know if I thought they were going to do both of those.
Well, I think it makes sense to kind of give that context. It's going to be important for people to understand that, look, it's just as important where you seed as it is where you rank because it does change everything because it flips up your matchups.
But BYU goes from 9-4 miraculously,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. And as long as people understand that fact, they'll be fine.
Do you think they did the right format? Like they kind of announced the seedings and then the full rankings. I would have gone the other way to kind of
rankings first.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, just to explain the context of what it would actually look like.
Right.
I think that makes a little bit more sense.
But they had to go for the full rankings because you have to go through down 25. You can't just pick 12 teams and everyone else is in a jumble.
Exactly. They have to understand because there's bubble watch now. You have to understand who's on the outside looking in, which is weird for college football. But if you're a college basketball fan, which several college football fans are also college basketball fans, then you've already kind of experienced this. And it's in the new era of college football. You got to look at the teams on the outside and then you move on to the teams that are on the inside. But a lot of these teams on the outside, I will say, they still control a lot of what could happen in this tournament whenever it eventually gets here. You look at SMU. They could run the table, get to the ACC championship game. If they go undefeated the rest of the way, what do you say there? Texas A&M, they still control their fate in the SEC. What happens there? LSU, Ole Miss, Iowa State, Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, not so much. But the other ones, look, they can still push to their conference championship games. And then they throw a wrench right there into the middle of all of this.
Well, it's not a wrench. It plays itself out like always. But as is always the case, the 12 we have now, or in previous years, the 4 we have now, is not going to be the 12 at the end of the season. Some of these teams play each other. Some of them will lose to teams that are not in the 12. Some of them from behind, as you mentioned, might get some wins that bump them into the 12. So here's what it looks like, and this is the seedings. Okay, keep in mind, this is the seeding. Oregon 1, Georgia 2, Miami 3, and then BYU 4. BYU, if we need to explain it, gets 4 because they are the fourth highest ranked conference champion, and they're just presuming that everyone who's in the lead right now in each conference would win the conference championship. BYU 4 out of the Big 12. Ohio State 5, Texas 6, Penn State 7, Tennessee 8, Indiana 9, Notre Dame 10, Alabama 11, and Boise State 12. Again, those are the seedings. Here are the two main differences in the rankings. Ohio State is ranked number 2, right? Georgia might be seeded 2. Ohio State's actually ranked 2. Georgia's ranked 3. But because Oregon is the de facto, for the moment, Big Ten champion, Ohio State as an at-large cannot be one of the top 4 seeds, so they come in at number 5. And then we mentioned it a little bit earlier. BYU, although they're ranked just 9th, which is another discussion we can have, they're ranked just 9th. They are seeded 4th due to being the 4th highest ranked conference champion. And so they're going to try and hold on to that. The other options outside of BYU would probably be one of those Army or Boise State type teams that could maybe climb up there. Of course, that would take BYU to lose, and then you'd have to have the Big 12 champs still be ranked lower, and it would be a mess. You mentioned the teams on the outside looking in. We gave you the top 12 on the way down. SMU at 13, really interesting. Going to have to keep an eye on them. Texas A&M, 14, LSU 15, Ole Miss 16. Iowa State picks up their first loss of the season. They fall to 17, right behind Pitt, who does as well. 18, Kansas State 19, Colorado at 20. We're going to talk about Colorado. They got a huge game today on the road at Texas Tech. We mentioned Heisman implications. You mentioned playoff implications. You mentioned the Big 12 title race. All three can be checked off in that one game. Washington State, 21. Louisville, 22. Clemson, 23. Missouri, 24. And Army, 25. And that Army is one of those teams to keep an eye on. If they stay undefeated, they do have a game coming up against Notre Dame. Notre Dame currently in a playoff spot. We could see those teams make a little bit of switcheroni in that one. You asked the question here on the rundown, Garrett. Who's the most fortunate and who deserves to be angry? I want to let you answer that first before I go.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I'm looking at SMU. I'm a little ticked off if I'm SMU because these guys are playing at a really high level right now. BYU, that's another one. they're playing at a really high level. Indiana, they're playing at a really high level. Look, there's somebody who, like, yes, I understand their strength of schedule. They're like 103rd or something in FBS right now, but they're also blasting teams.
Right.
They are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing. I think I cannot remember for the life of me who did it, but he did a blind resume side to side, and he went down for margin of victory. Where is their strength of schedule? What is their ranking? And like, one was ranked number 2, one was ranked number 8. The one on the left is going to be Indiana. The other one on the right, 2023 Georgia. I understand Georgia had won at that time back-to-back national championships. They had identical resumes, but one was ranked 8th and one was ranked 2nd. So there is a little bit of sticker bias when it comes to the committee. They see Ohio State, they see Georgia, they see Alabama. They're going to give them the benefit of the doubt. These other programs that I mentioned, BYU, Indiana, SMU, these are programs who are really playing very good football right now. Like, SMU just beat an undefeated Pittsburgh team last week. It may not be as sexy of a win, maybe as Alabama going and beating an LSU this week or something like that, but it's still something, it still matters in college football, right? But the committee, it tends to weight different things differently, right? But if I'm Indiana, I'm a little ticked off, you know, because there is a trapdoor underneath them right now. Because if they drop one game outside of that Ohio State game, I would not be surprised to see them pummel or tumble. I couldn't think of that word.
You combine plummet,
I know,
and then tumbles where you headed. Yeah.
Tumble outside of that top 12. They're just one of those teams with a trapdoor underneath them, and I think BYU is kind of in that same regard. And I know we're going to get into our conference discussions here in just a moment, but look, there are a lot of teams that are not in great shape if they do drop a game. But all you got to do is just win. Just win.
In terms of the conference championship, you got to make it to the conference championship game, and that can secure an automatic berth, assuming you're ranked high enough. And that's its own question as well. I'd be upset if I was Boise State a little bit. I think,
really?
Yeah, I mean, they have what I would deem probably the best loss of this group, right? I mean, they're on the road against number one Oregon earlier in the season.
Yeah.
I think they've got to win against SMU, right? So, you know, I maybe Boise State would be a little bit frustrated. I don't know about BYU and Alabama, BYU and Indiana. It's just, they're going to have the opportunities, especially Indiana coming up, to either prove it. And one of those games, despite Michigan being down, I think you look at today as kind of a statement moment for Indiana. We'll talk about that when we go around the nation at the backside of this hour. Let's go to the other side. Who do you think is the most fortunate?
I'm going to look at Alabama there. 6-2 on the season. They had 2 road losses, 1 to Vanderbilt. They looked decrepit against Tennessee. Well, both of them looked pretty bad in that game, I will say. But Alabama, Notre Dame. Normally, in any given year, if you go on the road and you lose to Vanderbilt, if you lose to Northern Illinois earlier this season, that is effectively a season killer in most seasons. But this is the new 12-team playoff. There's a little bit of chaos right here. Notre Dame has looked good outside of that 1 week. They're sitting there at number 10. Boise State, I mean, look, you mentioned how they're a little upset. I think they're pretty fortunate to be up there at 12, but I will say, just historically looking at where the committee likes to rank these group of 5 teams, but they are slotted behind a team that's lost to Northern Illinois. They're slotted behind a team that is lost to Vanderbilt, has 2 losses on the season. So I understand where you're coming from with that one, but Notre Dame and Alabama, I think they're very fortunate to be where they are.
Yeah, specifically Alabama, I want to join you in that cause. It's just, that feels like they're getting benefit of the doubt, brand name program type treatment in this one. I think if it was Missouri that had the exact same expectations, exact same schedule, exact same results, I don't think Missouri would be ranked in the top 12.
Hell no.
And so I think Alabama's getting a little bit of where the Crimson Tide treatment in the rankings. And look, they have an opportunity today to prove me wrong.
Yeah.
Or at least prove that they belong, if nothing else. And if not, you can expect LSU to go potentially take that spot from them right now.
What's the argument for Ohio State over Georgia, 2-3? It doesn't make any sense to me.
It does to me. I don't disagree with it, but I understand it. It's a lot longer discussion than we have time for in about 30 seconds before our break. Let's chat about that a little bit on the other side. We'll give our shout-outs to a standout. I'll explain why I think Ohio State is above Georgia. You can either agree, disagree, chop that argument to bits. I don't stand by it. I'm just trying to reason it. I would have Georgia 1. I don't care. That's not true. I wouldn't. I would have Georgia above Ohio State. I think I know why. It's something I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. We'll see if it holds true. That's coming on the other side. He's Garrett Chapman. I'm Abe Gordon. It is College Football Game Time. Noel hanging with us as always on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply. It's better.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All the latest breaking news on the college football scene. This is College Football Game Time. College Football Game Time is presented by Dos Equis. Go for Dos on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back in College Football Game Time. It's Abe Gordon and Garrett Chapman. And as we were heading to break just a moment ago, we had a discussion about the college football playoff rankings and the number 2 seed, Georgia, but ranked number 3. And they're ranked 3 behind the 5 seed, Ohio State. That's because Georgia gets the 2 seed as the second highest ranked conference champ. Mm-hmm. Ohio State as the highest ranked at-large team is at 5. And Garrett, you would ask me why I think Ohio State is ranked higher than the Georgia Bulldogs do. I think I have a reasoning. I don't agree with it. And I mentioned this a while ago, and again, feel free to tear this argument to shreds. It's not an argument I would defend, but I think it's what happened is you're comparing the two losses. Mm-hmm. And you're comparing Ohio State on the road at Oregon, games back and forth the whole way through. It looked like Ohio State had opportunities to win this game. It comes down. It's a one-possession game at the end. Now, I understand that Georgia on the road at Alabama, game goes back and forth in the second half, comes down to a one-possession game at the end. Here's the problem. I think too many people recall and only think of 28-0 when looking at that loss. Forget the fact that it became competitive. Forget the fact that Georgia eventually took a lead in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think mentally people feel that Georgia got thrown around in that game. And I think that's why they're having an issue coming to terms with Ohio State being ranked lower than Georgia. Again, I don't necessarily agree with that thought process, but that's what I think happened here.
Yeah, I mean, you can also point to the second half and say, well, if they got throttled in the first half, what happened to Alabama in that second half? I get that fact. I know what you're saying. The loss that Georgia has now, a road loss who at the time was a top five Alabama squad, a team that's going to be that went on to jump into that number one spot. Of course, we know what's happened to Alabama since then. They've sort of, you know, fallen off a cliff by Alabama standards and haven't really looked like themselves. On the flip side, Ohio State goes on the road. They lose to the number one team in America. I mean, the Oregon Ducks have been a really good football team. They're the number one team in America, and they've continued to look really, really good. In fact, I would actually say that they've looked better down the stretch than they did before that. But because Oregon started slow. I mean, people soon forget that Oregon,
Idaho, and
humbled.
Boise State was a struggle the
they
first 2 weeks.
They dropped all the way to like 9 or something in the AP poll. And now they're number one, very clearly the number one team in America. But on the other hand, who's Ohio State's best win? It's Penn State.
It's Penn State, yeah.
It's Penn State. But outside of that, not a lot on that resume. Georgia, I would say, has a better resume right now. They have a road win over the number one, who was the number one team in America.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Texas win is any better than the Penn State win in the eyes of the committee.
I disagree. Just because of where, I mean, you have Texas at number 5 right now and Penn State at number 6. So theoretically, and that,
yeah, but
by that argument.
I disagree with that. That's recency bias. Sure. Penn State's loss just happened. They couldn't keep them at 5. Like, I think we knew that. I don't think it's any different.
Well, they didn't have
in
them
the
at
eyes.
5. They didn't have them at 5. You have to
remember they didn't have their rankings. But.
Exactly. So you have to remember that they're not rising or falling based off of last week.
Yeah, they are. I know you say that, but yeah, they are.
In the AP poll, you're right. But yeah. Not in the college football playoff rankings. We have to take anything that had been.
No, man, we don't. Like, we knew where they would have been. We knew where they would have been.
We don't. We assume.
No, you don't.
It's a complete assumption.
No, it's not.
Of where they would have been.
Where do you think they're going to be ranked if they beat Ohio State? You think it's going to be 7? You think it's going to be 6? You think it's going to be 5?
I'm just saying based off of
It's absolutely not an assumption. We absolutely know within one or two spots to where they would have fallen. They would have been 2, 3, or 4.
I'm talking about going into last week. Going into last week, we don't know where Penn State would have stood. That's all I'm saying. That's all.
Yeah, we do. They would have been a top 5 team. I don't understand where your loss of connection is here. They're a top 5 team. They would have had a win over a top 5 team in Ohio State. Like, they would have been top 5. There's no question about it. Who would you rank higher than Penn State if they beat Ohio State? You can argue Oregon for sure. You can argue Georgia. You can argue Miami?
No. No, if they'd be, I'm not talking about them beating Ohio State either. I'm just saying where Texas versus Penn State would have been heading into last week. That's all I'm saying. But look, ultimately the status of Ohio State and Georgia, it's still a
doesn't
long
matter.
Way. It's still
ultimately
a long
it doesn't
way.
Matter cuz yeah. one team maybe both are going to play their way in automatic bids, mm-hmm. potentially at-large bids. Do we really care about the seeding? Like,
I think it matters a little bit.
I mean, the coaches aren't going to be mad that they're... Now, you might get mad if you're 7, 8, 9, right? Yeah. Because of the home field advantage thing. I can understand that. But, like, if they're both at-larges and Ohio State's 5, Georgia's 6, we're not really going to get upset about that.
No, but I mean, we have elimination games coming. I mean, you look at what Georgia's going to do this week against Ole Miss, and if you want to talk about resumes, if Georgia goes in and looks convincing against
Ole
Miss today,
they'll jump
to number 2.
And you know what? There might be an opportunity later in the season for Ohio State to jump back in the regular season if Indiana stays undefeated.
Mm-hmm.
But Ohio State doesn't have the title game right now.
No. They're on the outside looking in as
and
of right
if Georgia
now
wins that, they'll, you know.
Yeah, but we do
all take care of it.
We have several elimination games coming up. I mean, look.
Yeah,
Alabama's,
not just today. You got a couple that'll eliminate the back
today.
End.
Just today.
I don't know about it. Yeah, for some teams. For some teams, it'll be elimination games. I agree. Mm-hmm. For some teams, they can lose and still play their way in. And that's, well, up until other weeks. Anyways. I want to talk a little bit about last week, just briefly, in our shout-out to a standout brought to you by New Realm Brewing Company, official craft beer partner for Georgia Tech Athletics. I'm going to go first this time because, I mean, technically you went first 2 weeks in a row because I wasn't here last week. I don't know if I won't count that one against your record. I'm going to go UNC running back Omarion Hampton, 172, 4 touchdowns on the ground, also 93 and a touchdown receiving in a win against FSU. Arizona State running back Cam Scadabo, some similar numbers. Doing it on the ground, 153 and one touchdown. Through the air, 121 and two touchdowns. That's a win against Oklahoma State. And then how about some love to the Hoosiers defense? We talked about it. We knew what the offense would be or thought what they could be early in the season. Defense has ramped it up. Mikhail Kamara, 2.5 sacks. 4.5 tackles for loss against Michigan State. They're going to need a repeat effort today against Michigan.
Yeah, you talk about Arizona State. I am very interested in the Sun Devils down the stretch. Very interested. Not as much just because it's Arizona State. I mean, like, look, they it's the schedule that they have. You have their game against UCF today. They're on the road at Kansas State. Then they have BYU, and they finish with Arizona. If they run the table, not only would they eliminate Kansas State, they would, I mean, UCF, I mean, they're on the outside looking in. Arizona's way on the outside looking in. But I'm really circling that game against BYU. Arizona State has a chance to upheave the Big 12 conference. It's very interesting to me. I just really like what they have coming up here on this slate. BYU in the Big 12, it's you talk about the teams, the conferences that would be a little peeved about what you saw in the initial rankings. The Big 12 would be very peeved. They have a lot of teams kind of congested there in that 17, 19, 20 range. That's where they're sitting, 17, 19, and 20. But Arizona State, very interesting. And I know you had Scatabo there, so it just popped into my head. But let's jump into my shout-out to a standout. I'm going to look at Jordan Watkins. 8 receptions, 254 yards, and 5 touchdowns. Both of those are single-game records for Ole Miss. He is doubtful today against the Dogs, but his quarterback, Jackson Dart, also had a fantastic day there. But South Carolina quarterback, Lenoris Sellers, he had 350 total yards, 3 total touchdowns in that unbelievable win that they had last weekend against Texas A&M. They blasted the Aggies. He had 106 yards on the ground alone. SMU running back Breshard Smith. We talk about the Ponies. 182 yards, 3 total touchdowns. They blast Pittsburgh. Huge win there for SMU. They control their destiny in the ACC.
We talked about it being a big day in the SEC today. 2 premier games going on, 3:30, 7:30, both on ABC. A little bit quieter in the Big Ten, but I'll tell you what. Both of those two conferences had a great week last week, and really at the detriment of 2 other conferences. Tough go last week for the Big 12 and for the ACC. You were looking at 2 conferences that were trying to find a way to get 2 teams into these playoffs, and I'm not so sure that it's going to happen. In fact, I would say it's unlikely that both of them get 2 in. I still think that one of those conferences has a pretty good opportunity. But the Big 12 last week, Kansas State falls again. They're no longer a one-loss squad. Be very difficult for them to get in at large now. They'd have to find their way into the conference title game. Iowa State, who was undefeated, who was in that discussion with BYU, they had an opportunity to have 2 top 10 teams out of the Big 12 in these initial rankings. They fall to Texas Tech, and now you're looking at how does the Big 12 get 2 teams in? BYU obviously would have to lose the conference championship and still hold on to an at-large spot, but they're ranked number 9 right now.
Yeah,
it's not, and we'll get to it in the ACC, it's not Miami who's ranked 3. They're ranked number 9. I would have questions about BYU holding on. Now, it also depends what goes down the road in 10, 11, 12, Alabama, Notre Dame, Tennessee, some of that stuff. Penn State has to stay undefeated. Indiana can only afford 1 loss. There's other discussions as well. What's the best shot for a second team? Is it Iowa State? Is it Colorado? Is it Kansas State? What are you looking at? Or is it just a little bit odds too long?
I think the odds are too long.
Okay.
At this point,
Iowa State,
I would say Colorado.
I agree with that, too.
With a gun to my head, I'd have to say Colorado, just because there's a little bit more, sex appeal.
We just talked about Alabama being where they are because of that brand stuff.
Yeah.
It's a different type of brand with Colorado. It's very right now.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Have the star power that if it's between them and someone else,
they have a little bit more exciting of a team. Texas Tech is not very, very exciting. Iowa State is just not very exciting.
No.
Like, they're not. I mean,
now again, they'd have to get in automatically.
Attack, and you're like, you have some storylines with them, but nothing compared to what Colorado
has. Do you think if BYU goes 12-0, loses the Big 12 title game, they're going to hold on to a top 12? I don't think they are.
I don't know, man.
Have to jump to what, 6?
They would have one
in the rankings.
They would have one ranked win. One ranked win.
In the rankings, they'd have to be like 6 or 7 at the lowest.
Yeah. I think then even then it's like
Colorado have to be like 13 or 14.
Colorado would have to look very impressive down the stretch. You would have to have BYU look very impressive down the stretch. BYU is just not, I mean, the Big 12 is not in a very good situation right now. They're just really not in a good situation.
It feels like last week cost them the second team.
I think it did. Kansas State losing really hurt.
And Iowa State, obviously.
Well, yeah, but yeah. Specifically with Kansas State.
Yes.
Because I felt like they were the best shot to getting two teams.
And they were like 16th or 17th. They theoretically could have climbed
up. But their one loss was to BYU.
Yeah.
Right? And they lost badly. It was an ugly game. They lose that game 38-9.
Well, then you do rematch stuff and you get into that. Exactly. Now, the ACC is in a much better spot. Miami's ranked high enough that if they lose in the conference title game, they're still going
to
get in.
They have to be undefeated going in.
Right. Yeah, sorry. Yes. You're right. I had to clarify that. If they're 12-0 regular season and then they lose to SMU or whoever else
then
it would be.
I think they would get two teams.
Yeah, the ACC, as long as it's Miami that loses the title game as an undefeated, they're still going
to
be in.
Yeah, if it's SMU needs to win a conference championship game just based on...
It wouldn't matter who it was, anyone that wins.
Clemson.
Anyone that wins is automatically in. So yeah.
Clemson's not dead.
I guess they're not automatically in.
Yeah, they are. Well, effectively.
Well, yeah, they wouldn't be automatically seated, right?
If you're one of the Power Four conferences,
Power Four will be automatically.
You're going to be in.
Yeah.
Like, you're in. You'll be
fair
in.
Fair enough. ACC, I think, still got a shot. It would take Miami going undefeated and then losing in the title game. I'm with you. I think the Big 12's kind of on the outside looking in. But maybe they can change that today. A couple of games in the Big 12 that might be of interest, including one at 4 o'clock on Fox. Again, we talked about it. It could impact the Heisman, could impact the Big 12 title race, could impact the college football playoffs. But when we come back and go around the nation, we're going to start right here in Atlanta, a school you covered, Georgia Tech. It's an opportunity for a ranked victory. Let's talk about it next on College Football Game Time, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Across the Nation, brought to you by the Breakfast Sauce from the makers of the W Sauce. So good you want to eat breakfast all day. Visit thewsauce.com to find a breakfast sauce retailer near you.
Continuing on College Football Game Time, it's Abe Gordon. It is Garrett Chapman. In a little bit, we will chat about Georgia and Ole Miss with Brandon Adams, the Dog Nation. That's in about 40 minutes at 9:20. Coming up a little bit later, John Fricke and Chris Goforth will share some of their opinions on what's going on throughout the nation today. But right now it is time for myself and Garrett to go around the nation. We're going to kick things off right here in Atlanta, noon on ESPN. Number 4 Miami at Georgia Tech. Garrett, I'll let you get to the Georgia Tech aspect of things in a moment. The question we have for Miami, though, is how many times are they going to let teams stick around and hang around before ultimately burying them? They were trailing at halftime last week against Duke. They ended up winning by, 28, 30 points, whatever the number was.
Crazy fourth quarter.
They went on a great run.
Yeah.
And look, you're starting to get to the point where you're maybe comfortable with Cam Ward doing that in the fourth quarter. Be nice for them to just kind of roll that out in the first quarter and cruise to an easy victory. Georgia Tech going to try and battle them a little bit today here at home.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Miami team that really has not been tested at all this season by a quality opponent. I mean, maybe Louisville is the one that you can point to. They had that big win against Clemson last week, and Louisville's played better as of late. But that was a scuffling Louisville team at the time, and they won that game. It was a firefight. You know, they won that game by 7 right there at the buzzer. It was a 52 or 45 game. I mean, Miami plays with its food, and they've done it very consistently throughout the course of this season. FSU is probably the lone example going back to September that they have not been in a dogfight in the second half at some point. And I don't know. They kind of remind me a little bit of what Florida State was last year. You know, just ACC example. They're undefeated. They're playing really good football. But there are periods of time, whether it's a week-to-week basis or even quarter-to-quarter basis, that they just sort of fall asleep a little bit.
The other difference real quick is that Florida State could rely on their defense at times. I don't see that from Miami. It has to be games that are won with offense.
No. Because Duke, that game, you mentioned that game against Duke. Duke went on like a 28-3 run or something at one point in that game. They were dominating.
You got to choose that number?
Yeah, well, don't mention it.
I know the game's being played in Atlanta, but come on.
Yeah, don't even look at the... I have another 28-3 reference later on in the show.
What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you, Garrett?
Very unfortunate.
Come on, man.
Very unfortunate. But no, this is a team that's really kind of played with its food. You have the month of September where Miami dominates Florida. They dominate to far lesser than opponents in FAMU and Ball State. But USF, I mean, that's a team... That was a game that they won 50-15. That was a dogfight as late as the third quarter before they really turned it on. Then you have the Virginia Tech game, you have the Cal game, you have the Louisville game, and then you have Duke last week. A lot of one-score games. That's a lot of one-score games against far inferior opposition. Now you get a pesky Georgia Tech team. Because I want to talk about Georgia Tech specifically, and I feel like I've done a disservice by only talking about Miami here. Because you've got Xavier Restrepo, you've got Cam Ward, it's a sexy offense, they score a lot of points. But if you're Georgia Tech... If Haynes King is healthy, which is a game-time decision here, I think you have a chance to really cause some problems for Miami. You have a couple of opportunities here. Miami has a top-ranked rush defense, yes, but you're also going to break off a couple of runs. I've talked to some people down there connected to the Miami program, and they're pretty comfortable in the fact that they think they're going to win this game, but there are some worries that have creeped into their heads. What happens if Georgia Tech does kind of what they did last year, where they shrink the game, they do what they did to Florida State week one or week zero, and they kind of keep it as a dogfight? Because Brent Key finds a different gear whenever he plays a ranked ACC opponent. He just does. And they play at a really high level. They shrink the game. They run the ball well. And if Haynes King can go, it unlocks a completely different level from this team. And the matchup that I'm looking at, everyone's going to look at Cam Ward. I'm looking at Xavier Restrepo. How do you slow him down? Warren Burrell, Amari Harvey, those are some good defensive backs there in that room. They're going to be sharing duty on Xavier Restrepo. He has established himself as one of the best players in college football this year. He's one of the best players in the history of that Miami program. You know, he broke a lot of records last week. And those are career marks. But how does Georgia Tech slow him down in particular? He's Mr. Clutch for that squad. If he doesn't,
and he does it in multiple ways. He can beat you underneath. He can beat you yards after catch. He can beat you over the top. He's just a very good all-around receiver.
He is. How do you slow him down? Cam Ward, we've seen this Mario Cristobal team. They like to play with their food. And if Georgia Tech
That's how it happens. Yeah. I don't think it's their priority. I think if you ask Mario, hey, coach, you think, well, I would like to, but you know.
And that game against Duke, that game got inflated there at the end. Mario Cristobal kept Cam Ward in that game way too long. Way too long.
Got to cover the spread, man.
That game was decided. Hey, that game was very well in hand.
It's a big spread.
And it's just so consistent.
Got to cover 21.
And it's so consistent with Mario Cristobal. It's so consistent with him. He's so frustrating, man. He kept sending out his offense, and they're up by 20-plus points at this point. The clock's ticking away. The game is over, well in hand, and he keeps sending his guys out. He doesn't believe in taking knees, does he?
Oh, well, boy, don't go there. How dare you? How dare you? All right, that's at the noon at ESPN. I love that you gave that pot shot. Well done, sir. Good job. Michigan at Indiana, number 8 Indiana, 3:30 on CBS. Look, you know I'm an Indiana alum. We've been talking about this. There's no reason Indiana on the field should lose this game. I don't really want to break down the X's and O's and what's going to happen. This, to me, is an important game for Indiana from the perspective of they've been flying under the radar. This is a blue blood, and I don't care that this blue blood is down. People are going to view today as a statement. If Indiana does just what they just the normal, what they've done every week, if Indiana does that today against Michigan, I think people are going to view this Indiana team a little bit differently. And look, they should win this game on the field. I have no need for what the offense defense can do in the matchups. This is about the mental state of things. You're now in the single digits in terms of rankings. Do you need to feel like you have to press to prove something. I think that comes just by beating Michigan on its own, but it'll be interesting to see the mindset for Indiana today.
Yeah, if you had told me before the season started that
I wouldn't have
Michigan and Indiana were playing and it's a 14-point spread in this game, I'd say, wow, look at Indiana. They had a pretty good season. Only a 14-point underdog at home against Michigan? Wow, that's pretty good. Oh, it's the other team? Okay. Indiana has been a dominant team. But
by the way, people think that spread is too small.
Yeah.
And based on what Indiana's done
they should cover that pretty easily.
For people who don't understand, like, go look at Indiana's results. Like, these games are not close. Like, we talked about it over the course of the season, right? They hadn't trailed in any game up until Michigan State. They go down 10-0.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, oh, man, like, is this it? Is the bottom falling off? They run 47 straight. They win this game 47-10. These games aren't close.
You go reverse order, and it's 47-10. It's 31-17, 56-7, 41-24, 42-28, 52-14. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. It's not the and look.
But
I know
they haven't done that against Michigan,
exactly.
Penn State, Ohio State. And again, it's not even about Michigan being good or bad. It's about Michigan being a brand.
Yes,
Michigan being a name. And I think with a win like that today, people might view Indiana differently.
And you look at what they did against Washington. I think that was really the game that people started paying attention. Yesterday, they dropped a 50-burger on Nebraska the week before.
That was the one that got my eyes open just because of the defensive performance.
Yes, because we talked a lot about the way the offense was playing.
Right.
But then, oh boy, when they did what they did against
Nebraska. Was Washington
Nebraska,
the backup quarterback, too, without Curtis Rourke?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jackson was in there for that one. And look. They've started to roll, and when there's a team that's playing with that level of confidence, there's a lot of value in that. My biggest concern for Indiana, though, when do they start buying their own hype? Do you think that's a concern?
Not with their coach.
For teams who've never been there before, I'm worried about it.
I think their coach has been there on other levels, and I don't think he's
James Madison.
Hear me out. I agree with you. I don't think he feels it's any different. And I think he carries the same confidence, and he's going to carry it into that Ohio State game.
I don't think it's a coaching thing, though. I'm not talking coaches.
He's gotten some weird vibe, man. Like not in a bad way, but Kurt Cignetti's got some weird vibes that you can't.
I hear that.
You can't fake. And I don't know. I think the team's just buying in behind it too, and they're performing like they should.
Yeah.
Along those lines. Clemson at Virginia Tech, just two teams we're keeping an eye on. Kind of a mediocre year for the ACC. 4 o'clock on Fox. Did you want to say something on that one?
This is a game that I had circled at the beginning of the year of two teams who I really thought could be big time.
Yeah, I haven't had this one circled since week three.
Man.
Yeah.
Very frustrating season.
Since week three, I haven't had
both
this one
of
circled.
These teams.
Colorado and Texas Tech, though, is a big one. And this one's in the Big 12. And we're going to talk about back to back games here in the Big 12. Washington at Penn State tonight. It's on Peacock. We're not going to watch that one. We're going to be watching Atlanta United, which is going to be on Star 94, including coverage with you and me. Looking forward to that one. Number 20, Colorado at Texas Tech. 4 o'clock on Fox. I mean, where do you start with the questions? Can either of the Colorado stars take a jump in the Heisman discussion, Shure or Sanders, Travis Hunter? Is Colorado, Texas Tech staying in the Big 12 race in terms of who may meet with BYU at the end of the season? And then Colorado, man, like, it was a fun little ride early on in the season. Oh, look, they're playing pretty well. Like, they've won a couple games, much better than last year. Now it's like, yo, they might, like, compete for the title. The Big 12 title. This is a big game for them going on the road against a Texas Tech team that just eliminated a top 10 undefeated program in Iowa State.
They're right there in the middle of this. They are right there in the middle of this, the Colorado Buffaloes are. And you look at the remainder of their schedule. This is the big one. I need to see them win this one because Taj Brooks can pound the rock. He can run it really, really well. Averaging 130 yards per game on the ground, he's just 121 yards away from breaking a Texas Tech career rushing record. He does everything.
I mean, how tough could that be?
This offense.
They've been a passing program for 50 years.
I guess. 4,219 yards. That's what that number is. But no, they're right there in the thick of this. I was ready to throw dirt on this team after that loss to Nebraska. They looked decrepit after that game. That was an ugly performance. But they flip it around. They got the big win over Colorado State. and then they started to roll. They should have beaten Kansas State. They really had a good opportunity in that one.
Yep.
I started picking against them consecutive weeks in my wild card game against Baylor. They win in overtime. I think that Hail Mary changed their season.
I forgot about that.
Travis Hunter, and then Travis Hunter has that game.
So long ago.
That was, yeah, mid-September. I think that moment changed their season. And there are certain plays.
I also think getting out of the spotlight for a couple of games, having an off week, and they've kind of played a couple of programs that haven't got you on the radar. Now they're back on the radar. Let's see how healthy and refreshed they are.
And that's one of those things. It's the antithesis of what it was last year.
Yeah.
Last year they got shoved in the spotlight way too soon. You had people talking about Deion Sanders being a coach of the year.
Coach of the year?
He's right up there with Nick Saban and all these other great coaches.
He's going to follow Saban at Bama.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And a lot of hype way too soon. They were not ready for that level of hype. I think they're a little bit more ready this season. And you had that game against Kansas State. You had that big loss against Nebraska. But outside of that, they've looked really, really good. Their final four games of the season, I got to see them do it tonight. Texas Tech and Taj Brooks is going to be a tough one. But Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, that matchup, fantastic. Been a lot of fun.
Also, the Holy War tonight, 10:15 on ESPN. Number 9, BYU against seeded 4, but ranked 9, BYU at Utah. I'll say this. Utah doesn't know who their quarterback is, but they have Kyle Whittingham, and they're coming off of a bye week. This is a tough, tough game, rivalry game for BYU. I still like them to go in and handle business. They have a defense that can turn this ball over against Utah, but a small spread. Vegas knows something. This one might be close.
I feel like this is a landmine game. This is a landmine game. I would not be surprised if Utah wins. Would not be surprised.
I would. Only because I have too many questions at the quarterback position. And you're going to have that at some point to win this game. But
if you could play
certainly worth
game.
Keeping an eye on, and that's the point.
If Utah can play a clean game, which I admittedly is a
get
big
to that.
Ask.
We're going to talk about that in a moment.
That's a big ask. But I think in game, I think they got a great shot of not just covering the spread, but winning. It's only 3 points.
All right, that is Around the Nation. When we come back, we're going to go around the SEC. The segment that means more. Heavy focus right now on Alabama LSU because Georgia Ole Miss is our college football game time game of the week. We'll break it all down on the other side. He's Garrett Chapman. I'm Abe Gordon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.